Next Sunday, we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, which brings to a close the Easter season of 50 days. So for the last 50 days and for the previous 40 days of Lent, we've been focusing on what we call the Paschal Mystery. Now, of course, every single day, we're supposed to be thinking about the Paschal Mystery, remembering what it's all about and praising God, thanking God for it. But especially during Lent and Easter, we're supposed to take extra time because we get lazy. We forget to really think about what God has achieved for us through the Paschal Mystery and to ask ourselves, do we really believe it? Are we living what we say we believe? So I know you could all wax eloquent for 30 minutes talking about the Paschal Mystery, right? So what's the Paschal Mystery? Well, very simply put, it's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we mean by the Paschal Mystery. Paschal meaning Passover. Jesus is our Passover, the Lamb who was slain to free us from the power of sin and death once and for all, to take away our excuses for being sinners. And through his resurrection, Jesus opened the gates of paradise so that one day we can go where he already is, seated as King of the universe at the right hand of the Father. So that Paschal Mystery, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is what we're celebrating right now. We're remembering it. The reality of it is here because Jesus is here. His sacrifice on Calvary is here. All the angels and saints are glorifying the Lord with us right now. And the question is, how involved are we in that celebration? So I think it's a good time, again, since we've only got a week to go before the end of the Easter season, to ask ourselves, what's happened in us over the last 80, 90 days? Have we changed at all over the last 80, 90 days? Today, compared to 10 days ago, or 20 days ago, or 30 days ago, are we more loving? Are we less prone to sin? Are we more virtuous? Take any virtue. Take the virtue of patience. Are we more patient today than we were 20 days ago, 40 days ago? Because of the power of what God has done in our midst and for us, we have the ability, this is with God's help, obviously, with his grace, we have the ability to grow and grow and grow in our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ, our commitment to Christ, to being more loving, to being less selfish, to turning away from sin more easily, and doing the good that we're called to do. And we've got to evaluate that. We've got to take time every day to ask ourselves, where am I today as compared to yesterday? Or is my routine the same as it's always been? Are my habits the same? Are the sins that I commit, choose to commit, are they the same ones? How have I committed myself to loving God more fully each and every day and to loving my neighbor as myself? And we have a standard to judge ourselves against. It's Jesus Christ. As we heard again and again during Lent and Easter, Jesus, God the Son, did not grasp his divinity. He emptied himself, took on the form of a slave, and suffered and died for you and me. He did that not for himself, not so that he would be glorified, but for you and me. Are we grateful for that? Have we changed our lives because of that? Again, if we look back over the last 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, year, have we grown? And if we haven't grown, what's the problem? It's not in God, it's in us. Because God constantly showers upon us his graces and blessings so that we can be stronger in our faith and not only avoid sin. And, you know, I hear in confessions a lot, well, you know, Father, I really haven't committed any big sins. That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is not that we haven't committed these sins, but that I've done the good. I'm doing the good stuff I'm supposed to do. It's a given that we're supposed to avoid the sin, not sin. But it's also a given that we're called to die to ourselves, to empty ourselves of our selfishness, so that we can say to the Lord, Lord, it's all about you. It's all not about me. It's not about my comfort and convenience. It's not about gathering things so that I can have a wonderful routine, a comfortable life, but rather it's so that I can serve you and one day know your glory. And of course, we have other standards that we can use to evaluate ourselves. In today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we have the standard of Saint Stephen. Did he hold on to his life? No. He emptied himself to proclaim the gospel. And what happened to him? He was stoned to death. He gave his life to Christ. Are we willing to give our lives to Christ? Maybe not in that particular way, but each and every day to look at who we are, what the gifts we have been given are, and are we using them to proclaim the gospel message? Do we evaluate ourselves? Do we hold ourselves to that very high standard? And it's not just an ideal, but it is something we can achieve because of God. Or do we keep going back to our own safe and convenient routine? Again, look at St. Paul. He gave up everything to do exactly what Jesus said to the disciples before he ascended to the right hand of the Father. He said, go out into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Scott Hahn spoke to us this past week, a wonderful biblical scholar, and he jokingly said, well, of course, you know, when Jesus ascended to the Father, before he did that, he said to the disciples, now go and say a rosary. No, he didn't say that. He said, go out into the world and proclaim the gospel. Why? Because people don't know it. People don't know about it. They don't know about the Paschal mystery. They don't know Jesus Christ. And so the disciples and all of us have been commissioned to proclaim that gospel. That's our job. That's what we're called to do. And if we do that, we will share more and more fully in the joy of Jesus Christ. Now, there's another standard we should hold ourselves accountable to and evaluate our lives. In the prefaces that we've been using during the Easter season, there is a very striking phrase, and it's supposed to be about you and me. And it goes like this. Overcome with Paschal joy. We sing holy, holy, holy. Overcome with Paschal joy. So the church in this prayer is saying that you and I should be overcome with Paschal joy. Anybody fainting from Paschal joy? We haven't got nurses, we may need them. But ask yourselves, do you have joy? Even in the midst of suffering, that comes along with being a human being. You're not going to get out of that. But do we still have joy because our faith, our focus, our lives are focused on Jesus Christ and his Paschal mystery? Can you imagine what would happen in the world if even 1 million Catholics had that joy and showed it in the world? You think there'd be a change? Be a huge change, because that joy is infectious. And it only comes through Jesus Christ, and it only comes through suffering, dying to ourselves, not putting up walls so that we can protect who we are and what we're going to do. But it's a joy that comes by giving over ourselves more and more to God. That's why I say we need to evaluate, to be judges of our own lives and ask ourselves, has the truth of the Paschal mystery, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, really made a change in me? Do I want to change? Do I want to grow? Do I want to be more loving? Do I want to do the will of God? Or what's holding me back? Now, a lot of people would say fear and anxiety. That's rampant in our world today. Why? Well, because there are people who are violent, who are threatening. But again, Jesus has the answer to that. He said to the apostles again and again and again and again, be not afraid, meaning we have the power to put fear behind us. We have the power to put fear behind us. He also says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't. So again, we have a power that comes from God to put aside anxiety and troubles and worries and fear. But we have to keep remembering it's about Jesus Christ, that our safety, our lives, our glory, our joy is all about Jesus Christ and serving him each and every day. And all of us have more than we could possibly use in terms of graces and blessings from God so that we can be overcome with Paschal joy. So I'd like to invite you as you go home today and throughout the week to ask yourselves, do I have that joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ, having that relationship with Jesus Christ? Do I believe it's possible to have this joy and relationship with Christ? What do I need to do to change, to make concrete changes each and every day so that I can be more faithful to Christ, so I can be more loving, more kind, more generous? And as we focus on those positive things, the sin part's just going to go off to the side, because we're going to be so intent on doing what Christ calls us to do, living the gospel message, living the reality of the Paschal mystery, we're not going to have time to sin. But that's the beauty of our faith. God is constantly calling us to him to put our lives in his hands and not worry, not be afraid, put that stuff behind us, that's the devil, but to keep our eyes focused on him so that we can not only in this life share in his joy, and I'm not talking about some feeling that comes and goes, but a deep-seated, yeah, it's really okay. In fact, it's even wonderful no matter what happens. But also so that one day, as Jesus says in the gospel today, we will share in his glory. Divine glory. There's nothing on earth that compares with that, and yet here is God wanting you and me to share in it. I say that's a kind of a wow moment. But to take time to evaluate where we are in our journey, where have we gone astray? What do we need to say no to? Who is the old man or woman that keeps clinging to us that we can say, go, get behind me, Satan? What do we need to do in terms of being more like Jesus, who gives us his very self in the sacraments so that we can know the joy of God and one day share in his divine glory? And the more we evaluate ourselves according to the gospel message, the more we give our lives over to Christ, the more we grow in our ability to proclaim the gospel, the more the joy grows, and the more we are able very easily to show that joy in the world, to encourage other people to come and find where true joy exists. And true joy only exists in knowing the Savior. So we have a lot of wonderful things God has done for us, and it's always up to us to say yes to the Lord, what the Lord wants us to do in our lives, as uncomfortable as it might be. We have the power to keep becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. So take some time in prayer. Set some time aside. Do some writing, whatever you want to do, and ask yourselves, where am I today as compared to yesterday or 10 days ago or 30 days ago? What do I need to do to get that overwhelming joy that God wants me to have? What am I willing to do? What do I need to practice in order to be more like Christ? And then practice it each and every day and see the changes. See the wonder grow, the glory grow, the joy grow that God wants each of us to share in.